Okay, I'd like to learn together a sugya today that touches upon obviously tefillin. I know that's the common theme of this series of shiurim, but it's tefillin on Shabbos, tefillin on Yontif, tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. So we'll try to see if we can knock off all four different sugyas in one, and see if we can learn through the sugya together. So as all sugyas begin, we have to go back to the very basics, go back to the Gemara itself. And actually, we really have to go back to a step even before the Gemara itself. We actually have to go back actually to a series of Psukim and Chumash, because most of what we're going to discuss today really revolves around a Psukim Chumash, not even an entire Psukim Chumash. Actually, a phrase, actually one word. The one word is Chuka. It's a word that appears in Parshas Bo in the context of Vishamartes Achuka Hazos. The Torah tells us that we have to observe, we have to be careful to guard this chukah, this law, miyamim yamima. And the question that begins our sugya is literally taich, translation of a word. What is the chukah that the Torah is referring to? What is the chukah? And once we determine what the chukah is, we will see how this does or perhaps does not impact on Hilchos Tefillin for us. So the reason why it's somewhat ambiguous as to what the word chukah actually means is because the context of this word is a pasuk in Parshas Bo, in the parsha of Kadesh, one of the parshas that are, of course, in the Tefillin. The problem why it's so unclear what this word means is because the Torah does not identify precisely what the chukah is, and there are really two very, very different options as to what this chukah, what this ambiguous chukah is. The reason why it's ambiguous is because normally when you have, in a sense, an unclear and ambiguous pronoun, you try to look back to the previous phrases, the previous psukim, to try to get a little bit of clarity as to what this particular phrase is talking about. The issue here is that there are two different topics in the previous psukim. One of the topics is tefillin, and one of the topics is Korban Pesach. And it is unclear when the Torah says, as a chukah hazos, observe this chukah, is the Torah going back to the chukah of tefillin, or is the Torah going back to the chukah of Korban Pesach? So with that little bit of a background, let's take a look at the first of the makoros, first of the sources, Gemara Maseches Benachas and Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Let's pick it up on the second line, the Sanya, middle of the second line, v'shamartes achukah hazos l'moadam yamim yamima. So Gemara has several observations about this phrase, yamim v'lo leilos, mi yamim v'lo kol yamim, prat l'shabastas yamim tovim, di Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili clearly understood the chukah in question as referring to the chukas tefillin akosu menaber. The pasuk is referring specifically to tefillin and telling us a whole series of halachas governing tefillin, that when one wears tefillin, one has to be careful. Be careful to observe the mitzvah of tefillin. During the day you wear tefillin, you don't wear tefillin at night. According to the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it would actually be prohibited min haTorah to wear tefillin at night. Second, Rabbi Yossi Aglili tells us, the mem comes to exclude, like a lashon of mitzvah yamim. Some days you do, and some days you don't. So which days would you wear tefillin? Regular days, weekdays, days that are not special and unique. In contrast to Shabbosos Yom Tovim, which are, can't just call them regular days, not just run-of-the-mill days. So yamim, v'lo mitzvos yamim, v'lo kol yamim, this comes to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. So in one fell swoop, Rabbi Yossi Aglili teaches us a whole array, a whole series of halachos that govern this man of the mitzvah of Anochas Tefillin, all based on an assumption. The assumption being that chukah is tefillin, miyamim yamima is a phrase that's used to exclude certain times from tefillin. One time that is excluded is laila, and the other times that are excluded are the special unique days of Shabbos and Yom Tovim. So Rabbi Yossi's view, of course, is predicated on comes Rabbi Akiva and disagrees. Comes Rabbi Akiva, Omer, the Braisa continues. Says Rabbi Akiva, your entire edifice of halachos is predicated on a mistaken assumption. The word chukah does not even refer to tefillin. It refers to Korban Pesach, which again, if you go back to the Pesukim and see, the bulk of that parsha happened to be discussing Korban Pesach. There is mention of tefillin in the pasuk immediately before chukah, in deference to Rabbi Yossi Aglubi, that is correct. But since the bulk of the parsha is referring to Korban Pesach, we cannot derive any halachas of tefillin from this pasuk, because that's not even what the Pesukim are talking about. Now, what is unclear, according to Rabbi Akiva, so what does miyamim yamima mean, according to Rabbi Akiva? If it means Korban Pesach, what is the significance of that phrase? So clearly, unlike Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who interpreted yamim yamima to mean every day, you have to put on tefillin all the time, except for night, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, obviously you're not bringing a Korban Pesach every day. So clearly the phrase yamim yamima conjures up a totally different image, according to Rabbi Akiva. We know that sometimes in Tanakh, the phrase yamim refers to an annual, yamim tiyegu ulaso, sometimes the word yamim has the meaning of a yearly event, and clearly according to Rabbi Akiva, that is the case. So now, not only do we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva as to what chukah is the Torah referring to, that machlokas is going to impact as to how to interpret the phrase miyamim yamim. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it means daily obligation of tefillin, excluding nights, excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Akiva, it refers to an annual obligation of Korban Pesach. That's absolutely no bearing on Hilchos Tefillin. So at this point, if we would just ask ourselves one question, bottom line, does one wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So according to Rabbi Yossi, really clearly not. According to Rabbi Akiva, why not? According to Rabbi Akiva, there is no pasuk to exclude Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Torah says, where does it say anything about not wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Kamsa Gemara continues that there is still an additional source. According to the worldview of Rabbi Akiva, there is another reason why you don't wear tefillin, a totally different reason you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nothing to do with this pasuk, because this pasuk isn't even referring to tefillin. What is that alternate reason? The Gemara continues. Nafkalim Heicha de Nafkalim Rabbi Akiva. The sign Rabbi Akiva taught us. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Yachol Yaniach Adam Tefillin B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim. I might have thought that a person should put tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Tamad Loma V'Yali also Yachol Lutot Tafos Ben Enecha. Mi Shetzrichet Os Yatu Shabbos V'Yom Tovim Shein Kufan Os. Comes Rabbi Akiva and says, since the Torah describes tefillin as being an os, being a sign, only a time that requires a sign, such as a weekday, is required. One is required to wear tefillin. Shabbos and Yom Tov, where there is no such significance, there is no need for an os, because Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are shein atzman queen os. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no need, there is no obligation to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So basically, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva come to the same conclusion vis-a-vis Shabbos and Yom Tov, albeit for different sources. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov because of the pasuk miyamim yamima. According to Rabbi Akiva, one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a totally different reason of yatu Shabbos and Yom Tov from Shein Atzman Os. At first glance, there will still be a practical difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, at least vis-a-vis nighttime. Would one wear tefillin at night, according to Rabbi Akiva? So according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we have a pasuk to exclude night. According to Rabbi Akiva, we don't have such a pasuk. And that's exactly what the Gemara tells us, that in Ochinami, according to Rabbi Akiva, min ha-Torah, you do wear tefillin at night. The only reason why we're, of course, familiar with the practice, we, tachlis, don't wear tefillin at night, that's only midrabanan. As a gezeira shemayishan, that's a concern lest a person falls asleep in one's tefillin, which would be disgraceful, could potentially lead to other activities that would be inappropriate for tefillin. And therefore, midrabanan, Chazal said, do not wear tefillin at night, but that's again purely midrabanan. It would be a fascinating potential difference lahalocha between Rabbi Akiva's reason for not wearing tefillin at night and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you don't wear tefillin at night min haTorah. According to Rabbi Akiva, you don't wear it midrabanan gezeira shemayishan. What if a situation would arise where there's no gzeira shemayishon. There is no fear of falling asleep. So then presumably, according to Rabbi Akiva, it would be permissible to wear tefillin at night under those circumstances. According to Rabbi Yossi, and clearly that it's prohibited in HaTorah, then it would be prohibited under all circumstances. This was actually a very, very real shaila that actually appears in Rishonim and then became relevant to Halacha Lemaisa. Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, writes that if a person wakes up early, early in the morning, it's still pitch black outside, but they're up for the day and they're not falling asleep anymore. So Rabbeinu Peretz argues that it would be permissible to wear tefillin under those circumstances. That would only be true according to the view of Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that it's prohibited min HaTorah or exempt min HaTorah of wearing tefillin at night, then there would be absolutely no reason and perhaps even be prohibited to wear tefillin at night. So Lahalach and Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Most of the Rishonim pass like Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, we paskin that the prohibition of wearing tefillin at night is at worst only midrabanan, as a gzeira sheba yishan. We're afraid that lest the person is going to fall asleep, and therefore midrabanan, under normal circumstances, one doesn't wear tefillin at night, but under very, very extenuating circumstances, such as if there's really, really no concern whatsoever of falling asleep, then maybe one could argue it's actually permissible. There were actually very real halacha lemaisa applications of this. One of them was a very, very tragic scenario. One was a little bit, I would say, less tragic. In a tragic scenario, this shaila actually appears in tshuvas that were written at the time of the Holocaust about a certain situation. Rav Oshri has this in his sefer, Mimamakim, about a situation where there were people who asked, the only way for them to put on tefillin under very, very extenuating circumstances in ghettos and camps was literally in the middle of the night. But before they were actually taken out the barracks, they were able to sneak, the whole scenario, be able to sneak on a pair of tefillin for 2 seconds. So normally at night, we would never sanction putting on tefillin. But here, there is no choice. And here, the people are already up. Obviously, no one's falling back to sleep anymore. So can we rely on Rabbeinu Peretz Ashita? So that was actually the psak at the time, that under these very, very extenuating circumstances, one could actually even l'chetchila put on tefillin at night, because since the Minat Torah, anyway you could wear tefillin at night, it's just a gezer shem yishan, so under these circumstances, that wouldn't apply. You move the timeline up a little bit more, obviously less tragic kind of a shayla. So I'm sure many of you may remember the shayla. I actually remember the shayla. I was a little boy at the time. It was at the time of, it was in 1974 during the Arab oil embargo, where in order to save money, so the United States government moved up daylight savings times very, very early. If I'm not mistaken, it was like the beginning of February or something, they changed the clock, which threw into a total chaos, many of the Zman Hayom. I remember I was a little boy at the time, but I remember people were tumbling and they were talking about, well, the earliest time to daven Shachris was almost 8:30. I think everyone could have. It's very easy to daven Vesik in those days. But the problem was people had to go to work. So people had to leave earlier and putting on tefillin. People were putting on tefillin in the middle of the night. The whole discussion, the postgame, about under very, very unique circumstances, they actually have people put on tefillin literally in the middle of the night, because by the time they get to work, it won't even be a losa shachar yet, and they're not going to have any opportunity to put on tefillin later. So again, that Rabbeinu Peretz made a comeback in the 1970s as well. But getting back to that story in terms of Shabbos and Yontif, so it comes out that according to everybody, one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, or at least everybody as appears in Asugya. The only question that we have is, what's the source for this halacha? Is it derived from Os, Yotu Shabbosos Yom Tovim Shem Atzman Os, or is it derived from Miyamim Yamima to exclude Shabbos and Yontif? Is there any difference practically for us in terms of Shabbos and Yontif, what the source of the exemption is? So there may be a very, very important difference, which will shed the beginning of light on some of the complicated shahs that we're about to discuss. And that is, when we say that one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, one can raise a shayla, one can raise a chakira. What does that mean, one doesn't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? Does that mean one is exempt from wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? That the Lashon HaTorah is, there's a zman hachiv of tefillin, and then there's a zman of ptur of tefillin. You want to wear tefillin at a time when you're potter? Do whatever you want. Okay, because a day, you want to put it, it's worthless. You don't gain anything out of it. But to say that it's usur, doesn't say that in the Gemara. What do I say? No. Do I say that when the Torah says that one is potter from the midst of tefillin for reason X, Y, and Z, potter means it's usur. You're not allowed to wear tefillin. There's something wrong with wearing tefillin under these circumstances. So it's unclear from the Gemara itself what the halacha should be. So let's see if we can analyze it on our own. So one could argue that it may depend on what the source of the exemption is in the first place. If the source of the exemption is derived from Rabbi Yossi Aglili's v'shamarta, shomer, to be shomer something, is a lashon of an iser, is a lashon of a prohibition. And it could be, and there are many achronim and bedayik this from the Gemara and Maseches Menachos, that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, if a person puts on tefillin and Shabbos and Yontif, that's actually an aveira. You are in violation of shmir satfilin, v'shamarta asachukah zois, miyamim yamima, yamim v'lo kol yamim. A person who puts on tefillin at the wrong time is in violation of an iser. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe one could argue, yatzu shabbosos yom tovim, shidatz benos. They're simply an os. You don't have to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom. There's no need to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov. But nowhere does it say that it's actually prohibited. So one could argue that our question, whether it's permissible or prohibited to put tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, is actually dependent upon what the source of the exemption is. Since we mentioned before, most of the poskim, most of the Rishonim, and including the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, that the source of not wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov is really nothing to do with Yamim Yamima and Vishamarta. It's only derived from the exemption of Shabbos and Yom Tov being already an os. If that is correct, then maybe the corollary of that thing would be, there's nothing really wrong with wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov if one wants to do so. Again, there would be nothing to be gained by it, but it wouldn't necessarily be prohibited. So my nafkamina, what's the difference practically? I mean, we're not going to do it anyway. No one's going to bother wasting time putting on tefillin and Shabbos and Yom Tov. So what do we gain by raising this question? Is it us or is it mutter? So there are actually two statements in Shulchan Aruch that impact on the Shaila. So let's take a look at the beginning in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Tefillin Siman Lamed Aleph. It's the third of the sources. B'Shabbos of Yom Tov, Osur Lahaniach Tefillin. It is prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So it's pretty clear from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that we're dealing with a prohibition. Now, again, this has to be understood in light of the fact that the Shulchan Aruch himself, as we mentioned before, paskins like Rabbi Akiva. So what is the reason for this prohibition? It's obviously being derived from Os. But what is it about Os? What's the source? How do we know? How can we derive from the word Os that there's a prohibition? Where does it say in the phrase Os that there's anything prohibited about wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Shulchan Aruch continues, Mipnei Shehem Atzmam Os. V'imanichem Bahem Os Acher Hayazilzul Os Shalahem. So here the Shulchan Aruch identifies for us an actual reason. What is the source and what is the rationale behind the prohibition of wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Says the Shulchan Aruch, if a person goes in and wears tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, what they're really doing is they're denigrating, they're belittling the significance of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's as if they're saying, Shabbos and Yom Tov, man, that's not really so important, not really so significant. That's not a good enough os for me. I need another os. That's a problem. That's a prohibition. That's an iser. So the Shulchan Aruch, in one fell swoop, taught us not only that he's siding with the view that there is a prohibition to put on tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, he's actually giving us the rationale for that prohibition as well, the iser being the nature of the prohibition of zilzul os of Shabbos and Yom Tov. If that is the case, that the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that there is something wrong with wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that will impact on another aspect of Hilchos Shabbos. If you skip down now to the fourth of the Maamar Kamos, the Mishneh Berurah comments on this Shulchan Aruch Os Laniach, v'afilu betiltol yesh omim gam came to Osir. Says the Mishneh Berurah, wait a second. If you're not allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so that puts tefillin into the category of what's called the Kli Shemalachto L'Isser. Kli Shemalachto L'Isser is a utensil that is usually associated with a prohibited practice on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, a hammer, Mishnah describes as a Kli Shemalachto L'Isser. A pencil is a Kli Shemalachto L'Isser. But one is not permitted to move a Kli Shemalachto L'Isser except under certain very, very limited circumstances. For example, the Mishnah Berurah continues, tells us Masechta Shabbos that technically one is allowed to move a hammer to crack open a nut. because cracking open a nut is not per se malacha. So if I don't have a nutcracker available, I'm allowed to use a hammer. A kli shablach d'liyisa is permitted to move l'tzorech gufo for a permissible purpose. O l'tzorech mekomo. If I want to sit down and learn and the hammer sitting on the table, I'm allowed to move it out of the way. Or let's say a pencil. I want to sit down and have a Shabbos meal and I realize somebody left a pencil on the place. So I want to put down my plate. So I'm permitted to move the pencil out of the way. That's called the tzorech mekomo. So even though these kalim are prohibited generally to move for other reasons, let's say, for example, if the hammer is out and outside, I'm afraid it's going to get stolen, it's going to get ruined in the rain or something, I would not be permitted to move it. That's what's called mechama letzel. That's to protect it from the sun, to put it into the shade. That would be prohibited. Any moving just to protect the kli shablach d'liyisa is prohibited. But to move it letzor gufo umakomo is actually permissible. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says that tefillin should fall into that category. If you really believe, like the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, that tefillin are prohibited to be worn on Shabbos and Yontif, then they take on the status of a kli shablach d'liyisa. And therefore, one has to think 100 times before moving them. The Yesh Omrim, and there are those a little bit more lenient, says the Mishnah Berurah. The Chdesh lo yiplosh li ganvum nami mutlo talta mokhl mokhl. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there are others who maintain that tefillin are not really a klisha malach d'liyisur. There are those who maintain that there's nothing wrong with wearing tefillin per se in Shabbos. We're not advocating it. We're not encouraging it because it's really a waste of time because there is no mitzvah. It's not considered to be a mitzvah. But it's not an isser either. And if it's not an isser, then the tefillin don't take on the status of kli shablach d'liyisur. And then you can move it for any reason. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you're really stuck with the tefillin on the floor or something. You're afraid they're going to get stolen. Something is going to lead to a problem. So then one would be able to be lenient and actually move the tefillin. So we see that even the Mishnah Berurah is not quite 100% committed to one way or the other. Are the tefillin treated like a pen, like a hammer or not? And again, which is more of a tefillin question than a Shabbos question, because if there's a prohibition to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, then the tefillin, one would have to think a million times before moving the tefillin. If the tefillin are not really prohibited on Shabbos and Yontif altogether, it's just an exemption, then it follows there would be no limitation on one's moving one's tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. So again, we really have started out with the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, which started out translating a word, chukah, which led to a major machlokas as to what is the reason why one does not wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, which led to a further question, is there anything per se prohibited about wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? But now we get to really the most controversial part of the shiur, which is, of course, not so much the issue of tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, but is the issue of tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Does one wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not? Is one obligated to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? One can almost think of three different answers, either obligated, permitted, or prohibited. So you have either a chi of mitzvah deraisa or nisa deraisa, or somewhere in the middle. So what is the answer? What is the status of tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So going back to the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we have to identify, well, why aren't we wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif? And once we identify that, then we could further try to clarify whether Chol HaMoed fits into that model or not. So we're going to spend much more time on Rabbi Akiva because that seems to be the accepted view. That's where the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the ultimate reason why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif is because of os. And the real question revolves around what exactly constitutes an os and what does not. What characteristic does Shabbos or Yontif have, or which multiple characteristics do Shabbos and Yontif have that labels and categorizes them as being an os, exempting or prohibiting them in tefillin? And does that carry over to Chol HaMoed or not? So we have to really, really focus and zero in, what is it about Shabbos and Yontif that makes it an os? So we go back to the second of the sources, Tosus and Maseches Menachas, Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, raises this basic question. Yotzu Shabbosos Yom Tovim Shin Atzmon Krimos. Lo Mishum De Asir B'Asiyas Balocha. Tosus first tells you what not to say. If we're familiar, when we ever see a Tosus, where Tosus tells us, don't say this, you can be rest assured that somebody does say this. But there are Rishon who do say the following. So the first issue that Tosus raises, almost by rejection, is maybe what categorizes Shabbos and Yontif as an oath is really very simple. But there's a prohibition to do malacha. That's it. That is the defining characteristic. That is the defining feature. A day where there's a prohibition of malacha, then that's called an os. And if there's no prohibition of malacha, then it's not called an os. If we're going to go down that route, then we would have to raise the question, where does Chol HaMoed fit into that picture? Is Chol HaMoed a day that's osa b'malacha, or is Chol HaMoed a day that's mutter b'malacha? That is far from a simple question. It is clear, after learning a little bit of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, that one thing is clear, that nothing is clear. That Chol HaMoed is one of the most confusing areas of halacha, because we find an array of dinim. Every once in a while, something is mutter lechatchila in Chol HaMoed. Every once in a while, it's iser gomor, and we can never figure out what are the rules, what are the exceptions to the rules. Why is it that certain activities of Chol HaMoed are prohibited, certain activities are permissible? So it is this basic, almost internal conflict in Hilchos Chol HaMoed that led to a major machlekes in Rishonim, actually between two great brothers, between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. What do we make of the fact that in Hilchos Chol HaMoed we find certain circumstances, heta gomor, for example, tzedavra oved, the first mission my cotton tells me that if my field has to be irrigated, otherwise all my crops are going to die, go out and do the work in Chol HaMoed, it's fine. Dabra Oved, loss of money, everything is okay. On the other hand, there are other things in Chol HaMoed that are clearly prohibited. The Gemara speaks about what's called Menias HaRevach. I'm not allowed to make the extra money in Chol HaMoed. I'm not obligated to lose money in Chol HaMoed, but I have a situation where there's some profit that I can make. Not so simple. That would be potentially problematic in Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, we find there are certain kulos of Chol HaMoed. If it's the tzorech hayom, if it's the tzorech Chol HaMoed, then it's permissible. But wait, not so simple. That's only if it's something which is a non-professional kind of a job, a ma'isa hedjo, in contrast to a ma'isa umon. Ma'isa umon's always aser. No. Sometimes even ma'isa umon is mutter. So it gets very, very tricky. Where did all these rules come from? So Rabbeinu Tam throws his hands up and says that we have so many seemingly contradictory rules in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, we can't pin down when malach is awesome, when malach is mutter. Says Rabbeinu Tam, the answer is min haTorah. There's no prohibition of malach is Chol HaMoed whatsoever. Chol HaMoed is a very special day min haTorah. You can come to the base of Mikdash and offer your kavanos. You can't eat chametz. You have to eat in the sukkah. There are a lot of beautiful, wonderful things about Chol HaMoed, but in terms of malacha, says Rabbeinu Tam, min haTorah, there's no such thing. The entire institution of the prohibition on malach and Chol HaMoed is only midirabanan. And therefore, we apply the rule, Heim Amru, Heim Amru. Chazal made certain prohibitions, and they lifted the certain prohibitions. They basically wanted to enhance the day of Chol HaMoed, to spend it in a proper, appropriate manner. And therefore, certain things they said were off limits, certain things they said were okay. And it's totally within the domain of Chazal to determine what can and cannot be done. Because quite frankly, says Rabbeinu Tam, the entire prohibition was instituted by Chazal. So Rabbeinu Tam was so bothered with the seemingly contradictory rules with Hilchos Chol HaMoed that he concluded Malachas Chol HaMoed is only Midrabban. And his older brother, the Rashbam, disagreed. Rashbam maintains that Malachas Chol HaMoed is Deraisa. If it's Deraisa, how come it's so unclear what the rules are? So basically the Rishon, the Sefer Chinuch and others explain what the background of Malachas Chol HaMoed is as follows. That most Didim Deraisa we are familiar with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave certain categories to Moshe Rabbeinu and said the following activities are prohibited. For example, Hilchos Shabbos, Lo Sasaka Malacha. The Torah Shabbat Peh explains to us that Malacha is patterned after Malachas HaMishkan. Whatever was done in the Mishkan, that's included in the list that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the following 39 activities, Lo Sasaka Malacha. However, sometimes we find in Halacha, it's not as clear as that. Sometimes we find in Halacha what's called Mesorah HaKosav LeChachamim. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a certain mitzvah to us, but the parameters of that mitzvah are not clear. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu left them within the domain of Chazal to determine what is included in this prohibition, what is not. So let's say, for example, Hilchos Chol HaMoed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu definitely told Moshe Rabbeinu Chol HaMoed is special. We know Chol HaMoed is special. It's a Mikra Kodesh, Eilu Bodesh, a Mikra Kodesh. The Torah speaks about Shivas Yomim Matzas Techevu. The Torah speaks about Besukas Teishu Shivas Yomim. You can come aliyah laregel. There's a mitzvah simchas yom tif. We know that Chol HaMoed definitely exists min haTorah. Chazal didn't make up Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed exists min haTorah. And min haTorah, they are supposed to be days of Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh usually means a prohibition of malacha. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Sefer Chinuch and others, that Chol HaMoed is Mikra Kodesh, but it's not as an exact defined Mikra Kodesh of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos, there are 39 exact, here's the list of melachas. Yom Tov, here's the list, minus a couple of melachas here and there related to food preparations, Ochel Nefesh. Pretty much everything else was delineated to Moshe Rabbeinu. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that I want these days to be special, to be unique. How that expresses itself, which melachas are going to be permitted, which are going to be prohibited, that is up to the Chachmei HaTorah to decide. However, once the Chachmei HaTorah decide that these are the categories, these are the parameters, these are the guidelines, then if a person violates Issa Melachas Chol HaMoed, that's a violation of a Deraisa. That's a Torah prohibition of Mikra Kodesh. It's a Torah prohibition of Melacha. Unlike, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the entire institution of Melachas Chol HaMoed is all with the Rabbanan, the Rashbam, and Sefer Chinuch, and other Bisham say, no, it is Min HaTorah, but the details were not spelled out to Moshe Rabbeinu, the details were determined by Chazal, but once those details are plugged in by Chazal, then that becomes part of a prohibition Min HaTorah. So that machlokas between the two great brothers, Rabbi Natam and the Rashbam, significantly impacts Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Because if we're going to view Chol HaMoed as an os based on the definition of Asiyas Malacha, so then that's going to depend, is there a prohibition in the Torah or not? According to Rabbi Natam, that there is no prohibition of Malacha at all in the Torah on Chol HaMoed, so it would be absurd to call Chol HaMoed as an os. How in the world would Chol HaMoed qualify as an os if the Isser is not an Isser Deraisa? Tefillin is a mitzvah deraisa. Definition of an os is a principle of deraisa. You can't superimpose an issa derabanan to define a day as being a day of an os. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to look at what the Torah standards, what the deraisanic standards. In the worldview of Moshe Rabbeinu, whether a particular day is an os or not, to exempt one from tefillin, so Chol HaMoed is going to fall short because there is no issa deraisa malach to speak of. However, according to the Rashbam, and those who side with the Rashbam, that Melachas Chol HaMoed is fundamentally Min HaTorah, we have to kind of, work out the details a little bit. We have to, determine what is considered to be included in Masorah Kosav al-Chachamim. But once the details are worked out, then we are dealing very much with a Torah prohibition. If we're dealing with a Torah prohibition, so then we have a day that's called an Os, even on a level of Deraisa, and that will exclude tefillin on Chol HaMoed, even on the level of Deraisa. So it would appear that whether or not one wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed ultimately really is a more of a Chol HaMoed question than it is a tefillin question. It really depends on what your take is on Melechas Chol HaMoed, which again we know is already a fundamental machlokes in the Rishon. However, this is all true, assuming that we're working with the correct definition of what constitutes an os. We started out by understanding os as being a function of Asiyas Malacha. But let's not forget, Tosfos started out that way, but rejected it quickly. So let's go back to the Tosfos, back to the second of the Mamakamas. Lo mishum de asir be Asiyas Malacha. Don't say that Asiyas Malacha is the os. Yafilu chol shemoi, the shor be Asiyas Malacha. Even chol moed, with Tosfos is assuming there really is no issa min HaTorah, this Tosfos is following min HaTam, there is no real issa malacha, there may still be an os. Ika os, maybe we were going down the wrong path. Malacha is not the os. What's the os? The Pesach, the os mechilas chametz. Or the sukkah is the chai b'sukkah. Maybe it's the mitzvah hayom that constitutes an os. Pesach has a mitzvah hayom. The mitzvah hayom is the prohibition of chametz. Sukkah has a mitzvah hayom. It's the mitzvah deraisa of yeshiva b'sukkah. So says Tosfos, maybe the focus should not be on yes malacha deraisa, no malacha deraisa. Maybe the emphasis should be, are there special, unique mitzvahs to this day? And the answer is clearly yes. And maybe Chol HaMoed does constitute an os min HaTorah. So we have now really multiple factors that are converging together to answer this question. Should one be wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Or should one not be wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Is Chol HaMoed an appropriate time of os? Or is it not an appropriate time of os? So it depends on multiple factors. Number one, how do you define os? Is os a function of malacha or not? Or is os a function of mitzvah sayom? If it's a function of mitzvah sayom, then obviously there are mitzvah sayom on Chol HaMoed, so that would be a clear-cut p'tur from tefillin. If os is a function of malacha, then it gets a little trickier. Then it depends on what your take is on malachas Chol HaMoed. do you follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam that Malachas Chalamoid is only midirabbanan, but do you go down the route of the Rashbam and the Sefer Chinuch and others that Malachas Chalamoid, in a certain sense, is a deraisa? So, needless to say, it was a machlokes at Rishonim. Does one actually wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not? But the background as to where all this came from. So now, let's go back to the world of Shulchan Aruch. Let's go back up now to Maor Mochum 3 again. Now, the second half of Maor Mochum 3. So the first half, we spoke about Shabbos and Yontif, where the Shulchan Aruch told us that's also laniach tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif. Now, in Maor Mochum 3, in Siv Beis, now the Shulchan Aruch tells us, b'chol hamoed gam kein, also laniach tefillin. So Shulchan Aruch comes down very hard and he says, one is prohibited to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed for a simple reason. This is the Shulchan Aruch l'shitaso, for what he just said a moment ago. The Shulchan Aruch paskin that when we say that Shabbos and Yontif are lavzman tefillin, that does not mean putter. That means usser. We weren't sure that's true, but that was the Shulchan Aruch was siding with those views that there's an isser gomim in HaTorah of a zilzul of the oath of Shabbos and Yontif, and the Shulchan Aruch is absolutely equating Chol HaMoed to Shabbos and Yontif. Shulchan Aruch says they're also an os. Either because the Shulchan Aruch is siding Malachas Chol HaMoed is deraisa, or the Shulchan Aruch is siding with Tosfos' suggestion that the mitzvah sayom qualifies an os. Bottom line is, matter how you slice it, the Shulchan Aruch is pasking the halacha that one does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed at all. And not only is one exempt, it's an absolute issa gomim min haTorah to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. That's the view of the Shulchan Aruch. However, the next line, the Ramah Haga, V'yesh Omrim, Shechol HaMoed Chayev B'Tfilin, says the Ramah, the total other extreme. The Ramah quotes that there are other Rishonim who say that not only is Chol HaMoed not Osur, but if you don't wear Tfilin on Chol HaMoed, you're Mavapal Mitzvah Deraisa. You're Chayev to wear Tfilin on Chol HaMoed like a regular weekday, says the Ramah, V'chein Nogin B'chol Galilos Eilu, L'anicham B'moed. Says the Ramah, that's the custom in all of our communities. This is the Ramah writing in the 1500s in Poland. So the Ramah doesn't write, oh, this is the custom in Krakow in my city. B'chol Galilo Selo, all of these communities, that's the custom, to put them on, ulevarech aleihem, and to recite a bracha on them as well. By using that phrase, levarech aleihem, so the Ramah is telling you, don't think I'm a super. Don't think I'm not sure, and I'm telling you, misafik to put them on. I'm sure, says the Ramah. I am certain. Says I'm making a bracha myself on them. I'm convinced, Belishim Safek, that one is obligated to put on tefillin Chol HaMoed. The only thing, says the Ram, I'm going to concede to is the follows. Don't make the bracha too loud in shul, like the rest of the year. What in the world does this Ramah mean? So I never understood this Ramah until the first Rabbanus that I took was in Paramus, New Jersey. And it was a shul that had some minhagim that were still minhagim from the Breuers community. It was founded by many members of the Breuers community. So some of the minhagim at the time still had their roots back to Breuers. So one of the minhagim that they would have was that the chazan on a regular day would recite the brachas of laniach tefillin out loud. So that's what the Ramah is saying, that don't do that on Chol HaMoed. Just make the brach. Everyone quiet themselves, make the bracha. But since there were some who held that we shouldn't be wearing tefillin altogether, and there are some who said for sure not to make a bracha, so the minig was not to make the bracha out loud, but bottom line, to make the bracha quietly, of course, make the bracha like any other day. That was the psach in the Ramah. So we have quite an extreme difference of views. We have the Shulchan Aruch who's telling you that it's an issa gomer min haTorah to put on tefillin Chol HaMoed, and the Ramah is telling you that it's a chiyuv gomer min haTorah. Now we'll have to ask the most controversial question: how do we paskin? Of course, the answer is going to be, who are we? Who are we talking about? So as I'm sure, and everybody is aware in the school that there are many, many different opinions within Klal Yisrael today. And it actually has some fascinating, almost like halachic / historical background that the Beis Yosef, who of course wrote the Shulchan Aruch to Yosef Cairo, actually fills us in on. In the Sefer Beis Yosef, in Hilchos Tefillin, the Beis Yosef writes that in the early years in Spain, so the custom was that people were wearing tefillin. Many, many of the Rishonim held that you have to wear tefillin. There were many communities, even within the Sephardi communities, that were wearing tefillin. Says the Beis Yosef, in later years, the minhag changed. And he writes that the reason why the minhag changed is because of the words of the Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh, which became more popularized at that time. So the Zohar HaKadosh is of the opinion, again, Zohar HaKadosh is obviously entitled to opinion, but it's not necessarily we always paskin everything that it says in the Zohar, depending on whether it disagrees with something in the Gemara. But in the Zohar Kodesh, it says that one is not supposed to be wearing tefillin. That's actually usur to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So the Beis Yosef writes that in the later years, people became more following some of the minhagim that appeared in the Zohar, and the minhag shifted in the Sephardi, and the real hardcore Sephardi communities in Spain itself, says the Beis Yosef that the minhag changed. In the Ashkenazi communities, so that was not the case. In the Ashkenazi communities, the days of the Balei Tosa and the Rosh, and most of the Chachmei Ashkenaz actually wore tefillin, and now you started to see almost a split, that the real Sephardim, by the time of the Shulchan Aruch already, the Shulchan Aruch was already written in the 1500s, so he's telling you that it's also a niach tefillin, that there's no wearing tefillin whatsoever, and the Ramah is still sticking to that opinion that existed in the days of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, that to insist that we are tefillin even to the point of reciting a bracha, not even to treat it as a suffer. In later years, what started to happen is that even within the quote-unquote Ashkenazi communities, there were certain Gedolia Poskim who maintained dafka not to wear tefillin, and that almost like shifted the numbers, the demographics in terms of the minute. One group that didn't wear tefillin but the Hasidim, that the Hasidim, as in many other things, very often were influenced by certain things in the Zohar, and began to follow this view of that had been the Shulchan Aruch's view and had been the view of the Rashba and other Gedolei Rishonim who claimed that one does not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and slowly but surely in Eastern Europe, so well, the Hasidim basically were no longer wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And in addition, literally from the other side of the spectrum, the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon also writes that he thinks that the emes is like the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that the Ramos Pesach is not correct. And the Vilna Gaon paskin that he thinks that you should not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed either. So now you had a fascinating thing. You had almost like multiple different forces in Pesach Halacha. You had the real hardcore Sephardim in the original, it's hard to say the original Sephardim, because the original Sephardim, the Beis Yosef said actually the minhag changed. But the Sephardim for hundreds of years already were not wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, following their Rabbanim, the Shulchan Aruch and others. And now you had within Ashkenazi Jew, you had splits. You had some of the hardcore Ashkenazim were still wearing tefillin, even with a bracha. Then you had the Hasidim war, the Tamidia grow and that, etc. What ended up happening, almost a little bit of a fascinating halachic slash hashkafic historic switch, was that the Minhagim of Eretz Yisrael of the last 100, 150 years were pretty much influenced by three forces in halacha. The Poskim point out that if you want to know the sources for many of the Minhagim of Eretz Yisrael literally today, so you have to figure out what were the Minhagim of the original Sephardim, because the Sephardim, there was always a Sephardi Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. What were the Minhagim of the Talmidei HaGra, because many of them came to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1800s. And what was the Minhagim of the early Hasidim, because many of them came in the early 1800s. And if it happens to be that those three forces in Halacha all agree, so then that's going to be three for three. That's going to become the minhag kavu in Eretz Yisrael, b'lishum safek. And that's exactly what happened when it comes to tefillin. It just happens to be that the Sephardim, the Talmidei HaGra, and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov all agreed on this one. I didn't say they agreed on everything else, but on this particular one, they all agreed, and therefore became the universal custom in Eretz Yisrael today not to wear tefillin. Those who come from Chutz La'aretz and want to wear tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, so that already a whole further discussion about if they want to do that, so then the only option that would even be available would be Betzina, would be in private. First, to walk with the shul in Eretz Yisrael today, regular standard Eretz Yisrael shul wearing tefillin, so that would definitely not be appropriate. Because the minhag kavu in Eretz Yisrael is in fact not to wear tefillin. Within our communities outside of Eretz Yisrael, so yesh v'yesh, so there are some communities that, Hasidish communities, so it's unheard of to wear tefillin in Chol HaMoed. In certain Ashkenazi communities, so they still do maintain the old practice of the Ramah, and probably most of our shuls are somewhere half and half, not necessarily 50-50 exactly, but depending on the makeup of the shul. So most of our shuls you walk into and you'll see a pretty much of a mix, that some people are wearing tefillin, some people not wearing tefillin. Although the Mishnah Berurah actually has a comment that where he doesn't approve of this kind of a setup where you have within one shul, some people doing one thing, others doing something else. It gives off the impression of losus godum, having like a machlokes within the shul itself. It appears that the minhag in our shuls is based on a comment that Rav Moshe has in a little bit of a different context about losus godum, where Rav Moshe says that in America, so you don't really have like a minhag kavu in America. The minhag in America was simply determined by different places people came from in Europe. In Europe, you had minhagim kavuim set in stone for hundreds and hundreds of years. In America, so you have some people from Yekshe background, some Chassidish background, some Lipshe background, Hungarian background, mixtures of everybody. So the minhag became Rosh didn't exactly mean it like that, but the minhag is to accept the different practices. But most of our shuls do permit this kind of a strange setup where some people are wearing tefillin, some people are not wearing tefillin. So al kol panim, we spoke about tefillin and Shabbos, tefillin and yontif, tefillin and chol hamoed, which is of course the most controversial. There's one last part of the shiur, that's the issue of tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. It sounds like that's really a no-brainer. Everybody agrees you have to wear tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh does not meet any of the criteria whatsoever to be exempt from tefillin. But nevertheless, there is one last point about tefillin on Rosh Chodesh as to when in davening one should take off one's tefillin. On a regular day, we keep our tefillin on to the very end of davening. At least we should be keeping them on, hopefully, till the very end of davening. But in Rosh Chodesh, it gets a little bit tricky. So if you take a look at the fifth of the sources, the Yom Rosh Chodesh chodes with some kodim tefillas musaf. The custom is to remove one's tefillin before musaf. The Ramah says, and by the way, also in Chol HaMoed, it's obvious why the Shulchan Aruch didn't say that, because the Shulchan Aruch couldn't even dream that anybody's wearing tefillin anymore on Chol HaMoed. But the Ramah, who's Lashitasa earlier on, that one does wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so the Ramah also says, take them off before Musaf. Now, even though that's a further question, even within those communities that wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, many of them take them off actually before Hallel, and that becomes tricky. Maybe in Hallel Pesach, on the first day, you want to keep one for the Leni of Kadesh, and there's already Chinukim and Hagim within those people who are wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But here we're talking about tefillin of Rosh Chodesh, so the Ramah says take them off before Musaf. Why the rush to take them off before Musaf? V'davka b'machom she'omu b'musaf kedushas keser. He says, if you're in a community that says keser in Musaf, when Nusach Ashkez doesn't even say keser in Musaf, when Nusach Svar starts off the Kedusha, B'Shab is Yantra, Rosh Chodesh, keser, Yitmu Chodesh, Mekenu, etc. So that Kedusha's keser should not be said with one's tefillin on. What is so terrible about where he say Kedusha's keser with one's tefillin on? So this is very much in the realm of Kabbalah, that something that I don't profess to know anything about. But the basic idea that the Poskim explain is that Kesha speaks about the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and somehow we shouldn't be wearing our crown when we publicly declare the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be present. Even though our crown is the tefillin, has Hashem's name on it, somehow that's not appropriate, that's not right to be worn. Again, hard for me to understand what precisely that means, but that's what the Poskim point out. If you're diving in a place where they say it's just Kesher, then you really should not be wearing tefillin. And then the Ramah says, even in the Ashkenazi communities, our communities where most of us don't say Kaser, so or many of us don't say Kaser, so still we take that tefillin off before also. What is that based on? So one could argue that maybe it's based on a different concern, that since obviously one doesn't have tefillin on a day of Os, on Shabbos and Yontif, perhaps Chol HaMoed, so maybe Musaf is like a little bit too Yontifdik, like the Nusach for the davening is a yontif dikin nigin. It's a musaf dikin thing. It's a quasi yontif karalei moed. It's a little bit of a moed b'shas samir as a musaf, and therefore it's just not appropriate to have tefillin on. These reasons to take tefillin off at certain times in the davening Rosh Chodesh are not really me'ikar adin. They're really b'teres minig. Again, the stronger minig is if you're saying kesser, then for sure you should have them off. If you're not saying kesser, then many have a custom to take them off as well. Folks can point out if you have a very, very unique and extenuating circumstances and you just can't get it thrown off, so then there's nothing usher about davening Musaf and Rosh Chodesh. I'll just conclude with a somewhat of a humorous story that happened to me based on the fact that there's nothing really usher about wearing tefillin on Rosh Chodesh during Musaf. This goes back quite some time, about 35 years ago or so, but at the period of time when I was living in Kibbutz Yavne. So I had come back to America for Pesach and I was returning back to Eretz Yisrael. I was flying back on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and some of you may remember this dated back a while ago, but some of you may remember Tower Air. It was one of the cheaper airlines that there were flights from Eretz Yisrael to America. It was about 90% Yeshiva Bochum at the time, and the catch of Tower Air was you had to stop in Brussels along the way for a couple of hours. So you didn't have to even switch planes, you just stopped there, cleared some more passengers and shine. So it happened to be we were flying on Rosh Chodesh, and the flight had gotten delayed, and all this mind and everything got all mixed up and all thrown off. And it was soon to be landing. We were davening Shacharis on the plane. And it was Rosh Chodesh, and obviously we didn't have a Sefer Torah. But the question was, so should we start? Do we have enough time to daven Musaf? So it was a whole tumult that the stewardesses had told us, you know, let's try to wrap things up in the next couple of minutes. And so I was a young Yeshiva Bach at the time, maybe 20 years old. So I piped up and I said, you know, maybe we should just daven Musaf quickly now with that tefillin on and everyone run back to their seats to take it off. It'll just logistically, it'll save us 10 minutes before we get everybody upset about landing. You know, maybe it's a good idea. you would think that I just that said you should eat chametz on Pesach or eating on Yom Kippur. I get stares more than stares. Chutzpahs, curses. Okay, sorry. So what happened? So they didn't listen to me. People started to take off their tefillin, and then a second later, the pilot announced, "They went, please go back to your seats." And there's no more davening in this flight because it was too close to landing. So okay, so we had to wait until we landed in the airport. By the time we got off the plane, we were in Brussels and Dresden. All of a sudden, we realized it was late in the morning already, and it wasn't clear whether it was already after Chatzos. It may have been already Zman Mincha Gedola, and now you have a whole Shaila. What do you do when it's on Rosh Chodesh and you have Mincha and Musaf? Which one do you daven first? The whole complicated sugya. So nobody had any idea whether it's Zman Mincha yet. So this was again for. This was back to this was back in the 1980s when we didn't have the there was no such thing called looking up my zmanim on a cell phone. There were no cell phones. There was nothing. The only way to have any clue what the zmanim yom was, I remember we went to one of the stores in the airport to buy a newspaper and try to figure out what time sunrise and sunset was, and cut it in half and figure out what time how long the show zmanias, and try to calculate it the good old fashioned way of when. It was a big challenge because there was no English newspapers at the time in the airport in Brussels. So we worked really, really hard on that one. So I remember thinking to myself, look at what happened because of Kedushas Keser. Because all the people wanted to keep the tefillin on, they wanted to take the tefillin off before saying Kedushas Keser. If they just would have listened that it was not so terrible, not the end of the world, we wouldn't have had a fake the din as to which one to daven first. Well, whatever it was, all's well that ends well. So the bottom line is that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we definitely don't wear tefillin. Rosh Chodesh, we definitely do wear tefillin, just we take it off at certain times. Chol HaMoed, it's hard to say, definitely. Eilu ve'eilu divrei lagim chayim, those who have the custom to wear tefillin, continue to wear tefillin. Those who have the custom not to. Some wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed without a bracha, because they're not sure. Those who have that custom, all that custom. Each one of the customs is definitely grounded in halacha, and eilu ve'eilu divrei lagim chayim. We should have a lot of atzlacha and continue learning, and this is the tefillin and everything else, and wish everybody well.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Rebbe. We'll continue at 12 o'clock with a Sichas Mesor from Rav Tversky. Everyone's welcome to take just a few minute break, or if anyone has any questions, if Rebbe has some time. Any else questions?
I'll just say, Maestro Rebbe, we had also a Shiloh, the tefillin on Musaf. During Corona, people were davening outside. So people would leave their houses here in Yerushalayim with their tefillin, and they forgot their tefillin bag. They ended up in the backyard minion, and I don't remember what they did, but this was a Shiloh.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I would say to be making b'shasad chach. We had a lot more things we had to be making on b'shasad chach. That's not on top of the list. It's more than for Moses.
Thank you. I don't know if you've ever heard that. I think there are a few chassidim who have a minig that people wear tefillin until they get married. So when they get bar mitzvah, they wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and after they get married, they don't.
Interesting.
I think there might be such a minig by sans chassidim.
I'm not sure.
We got a Halberstam.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Or till age 18. I'm not sure. It's age 18 or till you get married. Whichever comes first. That's because the Sanzer himself had a background in before he became a Rebbe. He had some misnagdish shtick that he still kept. So he wanted to say Shalom Rav once a week, and he also wanted to make Kiddush on a shir, even though it was schnapps. Those kinds of things he didn't want to give up. I know that the Rav, when I was in Boston, he did not wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, but Rabbi Wolgamot, who was a Yeki, used to wear tefillin, and the Rav used to turn to me and say, "You're doing the right thing." So, I know there's a Mishnah, right, in Moed Katan that speaks about writing tefillin. You didn't mention that on Chol HaMoed. So I don't understand, how does that fit in if it's not Zman to fill in? It says he can only write for himself or make some kind of a harama by giving away his tefillin, then writing his own. But if it's not Zman to fill in, according to those who say it's not Zman to fill in, how is he allowed to write?
Excellent. Very, very good question. So the Rishonim raised the question. The Rishonim say that we focused really on Rabbi Yosef Glid and Rabbi Akiva. But the truth is there's a third sheet in Tanoim that says that you actually wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that denies both Rabbi Yosef Glid's Russia and Rabbi Akiva's Russia. So some of the Rishonim say that just because we'll find a Tana or a Sugya that holds that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, it could be that's following those Tanoim who for sure would wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But we who paskin, like the Rabbi Akiva model, that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, then Chol HaMoed may follow suit. 100% correct. There definitely were some shittas out there that were wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed because they may have been wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Thank you.